Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your presence. Quiet every voice inside of us but your own, that we may hear and truly comprehend your word for our lives. Amen. Mark 14, verses 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. He said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him.
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found his disciples sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came forward and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to them. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry Jesus' cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Well, then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among themselves, casting lots to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves.
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with Jesus also mocked him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink.
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, this is Palm Sunday, the day of a great parade of which we have heard spoken. But this Sunday is also called, in the life of the church calendar, Passion Sunday. For on this Sunday, we are also to read the story of Jesus' suffering and crucifixion, his passion. But I want to tell you about the parade on Palm Sunday. I want to tell you about the people shouting and singing, how they broke branches off palm trees, how they waved the branches in order to show their joy, about people taking off their coats and spreading them on the ground before Jesus. I want to tell you about how they sang of one coming in the name of the great King David, to whom God had promised an eternal kingdom. I want to tell you about the parade. I want to tell you about the little children caught up in the excitement and empowered to become part of the parade because Jesus blessed them. I want to tell you of the one who was deaf and mute, who now can hear and speak, who is leading the singing because Jesus healed him. I want to tell you about the lame people Jesus healed who were dancing in the streets during this parade. I want to tell you of the outcast he welcomed who were now part of the parade because he had welcomed them. I want to tell you of the blind man who could now see clearly Jesus entering the city on a donkey because Jesus had healed him. I want to tell you about the parade, the good news. And I want to tell you how Jesus finally threw caution to the wind, did not quiet the crowd, didn't subdue their enthusiasm. I want to tell you about how at the parade, Jesus not only tolerated, but even encouraged worship from those who had witnessed his mighty works. I want to tell you about the parade and give you a great memory of this wonderful day, because the days ahead, which followed the parade, were so very distressing. You see, there was a group at the parade that day who had witnessed Jesus' mighty works. They were eager to welcome a triumphant warrior. They expected the Messiah to be the son of the great King David and to lead the people to military victory. They expected Jesus to enhance their position in the community. But they were not eager to worship Jesus. They were not pleased with others' worship of Jesus as the Son of God. They wanted Jesus to be their king and to support their causes, but they did not want a parade where people recognized Jesus' rule as sovereign over all. They did not want Jesus to question their positions of privilege, and so they questioned Jesus about his authority. For it was their intent to continue to compromise with justice, to accept the necessity of violence, to ignore suffering, to evade responsibility. And they did. And so the rest of the story is one of tragedy. Laura Mendenhall, the former president of Columbia Seminary, puts it this way. "I want to tell you about the parade and spare you the pain of watching Judas betray him for money. spare you the disappointment when Peter denied ever having known him. Spare you the sight of the disciples fleeing when Jesus was arrested. Sparing you hearing the crowds jeering him, calling for him to be crucified. Spare you hearing his soul pierced and crying out in anguish the cry to God. I want to tell you about the parade. But the truth is, Jesus dies before the palm branches are cleared from the roadway. I want to tell you about the parade and protect you. I want to cry out, Jesus, you don't have to do this for us. We know you love us. But such a response exposes my utter lack of understanding of the depths of God's love. I want to tell you about the parade because I want to protect you from Jesus' own vulnerability. Yet, I imagine the deepest yearning of our souls is to witness Jesus' vulnerability, to hear those at the foot of the cross say, truly, this was the Son of God. How else can we understand God's love for us? You see, love involves the willingness to put oneself at risk. And God, who is love, was willing to risk great suffering, willing to risk betrayal and denial and desertion. There has been no pain greater than what God's love can bear. God does not regret the price of love, and such vulnerability is perfect love. Yes, Jesus chose to be vulnerable. And on the days after the parade, those frightening days, those sad days, Jesus was willing to risk that. The British philosopher and author C.S. Lewis wrote, "To love is to become vulnerable, to risk suffering. If you want to make sure your heart is not broken, you must give your heart to no one, to nothing. Then it will not be broken. Indeed, it will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable." Those who followed Jesus in the parade became part of the vulnerability of God's love. So you see, we could seek to be content this week with only the story of the parade. Yet, if we are to have a story in which we can both live and die, we need the whole story. Therefore, while I want to tell you simply the story of the parade, I also want to tell you that God's love for us puts God in a place of vulnerability. Yet God is faithful, willing to risk even suffering in order to bring life out of death. Jesus goes before us into places we do not yet know and prepares a place for each of us. My friends, and perhaps the best way to celebrate the heights of God's love and the excitement of a parade is in music, which captures our soul, and also to feel the depths of God's love as God in Christ came for us and our salvation. There is also music to capture those depths and to wrap our hearts in God's vulnerability and God's love. Let us continue our worship of this wonderful God. Amen.